This is Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre.
What is up, Straight Fire fam? It's me, Jason McIntyre. Straight Fire for Thursday, January 20th. NFL weekend approaching. Got a lot of good comments from you guys about the interview with Mike Jones. Not as combative as you'd hoped. It's funny. The guys who hit me are like, yeah, I thought you were really going to get into it with him. And I'm like, I'm not out here to get in arguments. I'm not trying to, like, you know, get in these pissing contests on podcasts. I know some guys are out there doing that, try to get their name out there. You get in headlines automatically. That's good for the brand. It's like, that's just never been my style. I'm not going to change who I am. I do know a lot of people who want that. And listen, I will greatly get involved in conversations with people, and I can back up any point that I make. I come prepared, like the Boy Scouts motto is, even though I was never a Boy Scout. But yeah, we had a good discussion. We disagree on some things, and I think you guys are going to disagree with my opening little monologue here. But first, I'll tell you, we have our first third-time guest on the podcast. His name is David Baker. He won the Super Contest last year and finished second in Circa. And this year, he finished top 75 in both. I did not finish top 75 in both this year. I've done well. I finished, I think it was seven games above, maybe eight games above 500. Profitable if you bet it every week, if you bet my picks every week. Again, the lines are frozen. So, but it's not cashing, you know, and that's frustrating because it's, I think, 1,000 or 1,500 bucks to enter. And you obviously want the win and the jackpot, but Baker's good. So we break down all four games. We are on opposite sides of one, which has me really, really disheartened. I'm curious as to where you guys come out. Listen, I haven't made the official best bets. Those always come Friday. I feel like I'm decided. I'm pot committed on three of them. There's one that I'm still waiting on. And it's obviously 49ers, Packers. Jimmy G did get to practice Wednesday. It doesn't sound, I mean, they're admitting he's not going to be close to 100%. I don't know why they're doing that. Is this like some big setup? It feels very strange. But that's a game I still have no official action on outside of just a small number grab of Packers at six in case Jimmy G's, it's not good and he can't go. I just want to open with this. So Jim Harbaugh and Michigan appear headed for a bit of a divorce. And I'm talking to one of the guys I talk to pretty regularly who has good intel. And it sounds like this is kind of how it's shaken out for Jim Harbaugh. So he struggled, obviously, at Michigan to meet expectations, never beat Ohio State, couldn't beat Michigan State. It just wasn't going well. So he has to take a pay cut this time last year to stay at Michigan. He takes the pay cut. A bit of a public humiliation for Harbaugh. He's a proud dude. I mean, he's won pretty much everywhere. He won at Michigan. He just couldn't beat Ohio State. He couldn't get to the playoff. What happens? Jim Harbaugh crushes Ohio State. Biggest win Michigan's had this century. Gets that monkey off his back. And goes to the college football playoff. Okay, it doesn't matter that they lost to the eventual national champion. They made the playoff and they beat Ohio State. That's huge for Harbaugh. Massive. While he's in the midst of doing that, Brian Kelly goes from Notre Dame to LSU and gets all of the money. And at the same time, Michigan State overpays Mel Tucker to stay at Michigan State, so he didn't go, allegedly, to LSU. And it's like, has Mel Tucker made the college football playoff? How many wins in the playoff does Brian Kelly have? These are good. Brian Kelly's obviously a real good coach. Mel Tucker's on the up and up, but Harbaugh clearly saw that and is like, okay. Well, I got to get my money back, right? I took a pay cut. I beat Ohio State. I got to the playoff. And then the NFL openings start happening. Raiders make the playoffs, but they're not keeping the interim coach. Mayock out at GM. Whole new regime. Chicago Bears opening. We knew that was coming, pretty much. We knew it was coming. And it's one of the jobs, obviously, Harbaugh would be interested in. But it sounds like, and Bruce Feldman, who's been on here, I work with him at Fox, good dude, he's saying that Harbaugh could be persuaded to return to the NFL as head coach, and that what are his exact words? There's a growing belief inside the Michigan program Harbaugh would accept an offer to become the next head coach of the Raiders. I mean, you never want to go overboard, but it sounds like they really like the running back coach there. He used to be the former running back at Michigan. I can't believe I'm spacing. Hart. And Gattis, of course, the OC, had a pretty awesome season, especially in that Big Ten title game against Iowa. He was good against Ohio State. Like, they've got some guys in the waiting. Now, do they go outside? Remember, the president just got canned. I don't know if you're following this. The president of Michigan just got shit canned for, like, making moves on someone, a subordinate, via email. Like, I mean, listen, man. If you read the emails that are very public at Michigan Public University, like, dude, what are you doing? They fired him. So, obviously, there's a lot of turmoil there. Does he want to wait that out? Does he want to deal with these boosters and recruiting? Obviously, he's on the recruiting trail. Or does he want to go to the Raiders, who are getting a new GM? And remember, the Raiders were moving from Oakland to Vegas, and they needed a splashy name. And they got John Gruden. Chucky. They love him on Monday Night Football. Or they like him, I guess. Or liked him. He had the Gruden camp or whatever it was. And he won a Super Bowl, and I know it was with somebody else's guys, but people generally thought he was a big name. He was the face of the franchise. They don't have that now. And this is a franchise that's kind of embattled, given the rug situation, a couple other arrests, and just overall, it's been a nightmare for the Raiders. Is Derek Carr the face of the franchise? Like, Derek Carr, good guy, solid quarterback. He don't know if he want to stay. And Jim Harbaugh would come in, big name, media loves him, lots of media attention. You obviously need that with a franchise in a city that's kind of new. Vegas, I mean, you know, they were pretty good this year, right? They exceeded expectations. They made the playoffs. They're in a tough division. I mean, I think that's a pretty decent setup if Harbaugh wants to go in. Now, I mean, it's funny. As soon as my contact told me this, I texted Rob G. This was before Feldman's thing came out. And I was like, Rob, it sounds like Harbaugh in Michigan. And he was like, ooh, okay. And I texted another guy. And that's the person who was like, well, actually, Michigan likes the running back coach. So there's a chance that he slides in if it's not the OC. You know, this is a weird time in college football. Urban Meyer goes to the NFL, didn't work out. Ohio State's being coached by Ryan Day. Okay, Notre Dame coach leaves for LSU. The new Notre Dame coach is like a 33-year-old former player. Maybe he's like 37. It feels like a big time of turnover. Of course, Nick Saban's still there. Lincoln Riley leaves Oklahoma. It's just one of those weird years. I would take it a step further. I don't think Harbaugh is going back to Michigan. I think Jim Harbaugh will be at one of the NFL jobs. I think he wants the Raiders because I think he can coax the owner, Davis, into saying, hey, man, you guys lost Gruden. You need a big name. You need a face. I'm your guy. Give me a 10-year deal. Harbaugh, I believe, is like 58, 59 years old. That guy's a grinder. We know he burns hot and fast, and those guys burn out quickly. He had a short shelf life. Remember, it was Stanford for a few years. See ya. It was 49ers for a few years. See ya. I mean, that's kind of what he does. He runs hot and hard. Oh, don't take that the wrong way. But that's like his style. He's fiery. Eventually, you kind of burn out. And I wonder if he says, you know what? Let me just take this Raiders job. Restore the roar with the Raiders brand. You know, we just lost John Madden. The Raiders are in turmoil. They did make the playoffs. There's some pieces there. Crosby. Now he's an all-pro. Hunter third and Renfro. Darren Waller healthy. I think if Harbaugh can convince Carr to stay, you've got something. If not, bleak quarterback class. You don't want to fully step back, but it's a tough division. I think Harbaugh and the Raiders make sense. Now, I don't know how comfortable he would be. I know Bears fans are desperate for him. I don't know if he would feel as comfortable going to Chicago. Like, they're not giving him a 10-year deal. That's just a different ownership situation there. How does he feel about Justin Fields, Ohio State quarterback? Who really crushed him a couple years ago. Again, it's January 20th. I put it in pen for now that Harbaugh's done at Michigan. Again, these things are fluid. We know that, but it the way the winds are blowing right now, I think it's over for him there. All right, without further ado, let's get to today's guest, the one and only poker legend, NFL gambling fiend, David Baker.
You know a guy.
Jason likes to think he knows everything when it comes to sports.
I know what sports fans want.
But for everything he doesn't, he knows a guy who does.
Let's just say I know a guy who knows a guy who knows another guy.
Let's welcome in our first guest who is now on the pod for the third time. You know, we've been going here for about, I don't know, a year and 6 months, year and 5 months. And the first time we're bringing back a guest for the third time is because he's good. And the people like to hear from gamblers. David Baker, who is joining us from lovely Cabo right now. How are you, man?
I'm honored. Just met like a year ago about this time, I think was the first time. So after won the super contest last year. So yeah, in a year, three times. Thanks for having me.
Put that on your list, right? So you win poker tournaments, you win the super contest. Oh yeah, and I went on Straight Fire three times. You
know, three times. Up there, right, first on the resume. First one.
So first of all, we'll get started. We'll talk obviously NFL. I am curious, how did you end up in Circa in the super contest this year?
We finished 25th in super contest out of about 2,000 people. So not bad. We were in the top, I think we were third with 2 weeks to go. We made a calculated effort. I mean, we made a calculated gamble. We decided to fade a couple of games that we knew would be real popular because of COVID news, because we were a couple points out of first. And really, we wanted to go all in to try to win first. I mean, we could have played it safe and probably guaranteed the top 10 finish. Yeah. But we wanted to go for it. So we wanted to get on a couple games that that weren't going to be as popular and hope maybe one of these COVID teams that the line adjusted would maybe pull an upset or something and we could make up a little ground. And so it didn't quite work out, but we finished 25th and we kind of did the same thing in Circa. We were in the top 20 going in the last couple of weeks and we decided to try to make a big push. You know, in these contests, it's really all about getting near the top. I mean, they're very top heavy and yeah, it's cool to cash and it's cool to get the highest place possible. But if you really want to try to make the most money possible, you really need to try to take a couple unconventional lines. Mm-hmm. You know, when you know what the guys up top are going to do for the most part for three or four of the picks, because it's just blatantly obvious. Because what happens in these contests for people who aren't familiar is they put out the lines on Wednesday. And we've basically seen a lot of COVID news these last couple of years come out on Thursday, Friday, and the picks aren't due till mid to late day on Saturday. So you kind of have to make a calculated gamble. I mean, because a lot of these lines, they come out and then you know, the receiver room has COVID or, yeah, you know, like the Denver Broncos versus the Chargers, they had like 16 guys on the COVID list. So you just have to make a calculated decision. Are you going to take these kind of free spaces where, you know, they're pretty easy to cover. But, you know, when you're trailing and you want to make up ground, you're not going to do that if you pick the same picks as the guys up top. So we made a calculated effort to try to fade some of those spots. It didn't quite work out, but we're happy with the decisions we made. And, you know, heck, we finished just on the bubble in Circa. I think we finished 64th, that paid 50. But that's out of 4,000 people, and we finished 25th in Super Contest out of 2,000, and that paid more. So we did cash in that one.
Nicely done. So back to back years, that's good. It's funny you mentioned COVID a bunch, and yes, it was huge down the stretch. It's interesting here. Wild card weekend, I didn't hear anything about COVID. Divisional round weekend, I didn't hear anything about COVID. I hope they're not testing. Frankly, it seems like by all accounts, other than Jimmy G's injury. And maybe, I guess you could say a little bit, the Bengals, obviously, well, Leonard Fournette as well, but that's more injury than COVID. How are you approaching this weekend's games, David?
Well, I mean, yeah, I think COVID's basically done. I mean, we obviously it's not done in the world. Yeah. But as far as the NFL goes, it's done. And you basically, you know, I mean, we knew that it was over because cases are spiking all over the country, but yet the NFL, all of a sudden, nobody's going into the, you know, into the COVID protocols. I mean, the Bills won on, what was it, Saturday night? And then Stephon Diggs is taking pictures with fans in Dallas before the game to watch his brother, you know, play that game. And he's there. He has no mask. He's taking pictures with fans in Dallas. He's in a box in Dallas. And, you know, Texas is one of the highest rates of COVID. So I'm gonna guess that the Bills, that there's just not testing going on. If the Bills are letting, you know, Stephon Diggs go to Dallas and take pictures with fans without masks. So I'm just going to assume that COVID is over. Obviously, injuries are going to be a part of any game. So, I mean, we do have to look at the injuries, you know, across the board. But I think we can pretty much dismiss COVID at this point from being a big determinant in these playoff games.
Super Bowl week, they and somebody in COVID protocols, like, come on. So, all right, let's go. First of all, have you bet any divisional round games yet? I have fired on three, actually.
I have not.
Wow.
But, you know, there are sides that I like and would like to fire on. But I'm not really a big early bettor. But, I mean, I'm sure we'll get into the games. I'll give you, you know, we'll go over my thoughts. I know you and I are going to be front and center talking about the, you know, one of the most pivotal games. I know what side you're on, and I'm sure you know what side I'm on.
So, oh, no, I don't. Tell me you don't like the Bills.
Well, I mean, I do kind of like the Bills, but that isn't the one the one I was talking about. I'm talking
about
Rams.
Don't tell me you're on the
Bucks.
Don't tell me you're on the Bucks, David.
Bucks, come on. We've gone back and forth about this Rams team and Stafford and everything over the Twitter airwaves. So, I mean, I know I read your tweets, you know, religiously. I know you're a Stafford guy through and through, and a Stafford guy. Oh, so I absolutely love the Bucks this week. And I mean, I know that you like Stafford, but I'm just gonna believe what I've seen all season and not believe what you know happened this Sunday, I think, or Monday, I guess.
Yeah.
I do not trust Stafford. I mean, I've seen him make too many silly interceptions that turn into six, and this is a ball hawking secondary for the Bucks. This is a line, one of the best, if not the best defensive line in football. The Rams offensive line is mediocre at best. And I think you're going to see a lot of pressure on Stafford, and I don't trust him to not make a big mistake. And, you know, one of your flagship comments, on Twitter is, you know, the Stafford haters going after them.
Would you call yourself a hater or not really?
I'm not a Stafford hater. And that's what I wanted to kind of, I guess, clear up. I don't really think there are really Stafford haters. I just think that when it's all said and done, you put a guy who is a very good, average to good quarterback on a team with a very good coach and a very good supporting cast, and he had a good season. I mean, I honestly was never in the Jared Goff hate camp. I thought Jared Goff was fine. And when that trade happened, I know you immediately ran out and bet everything you could on the Rams and Stafford. And
not everything,
I personally... Well, I really loved what McVay did over the last several years. I like the system. I like what they've done there, but I really don't see Stafford as much of an improvement over Goff. Is he better? Probably, but he's also older. He's got a little better arm. But I see a lot of mistakes from Stafford, and this Rams team, I've continued to wager on them, and they've continued to let me down all year long. I did have them on Monday, just because I really thought that the Cardinals was a really nice matchup for them. This was a team they knew. This is a team that's even more prone to do stupid things than the Rams are. And I was really happy, honestly, that the Rams won that game because I knew that I'd get a shorter price. So I was going to fade whichever NFC West team won this game versus the Bucks. So I knew I could get a shorter price. And the Rams looked so good. I think this line was supposed to open at 4, and it opened at 3. It opened at 3. Yeah. And, you know, I know the pundits are going to spend the whole week talking about this Rams team is finally gelling at the right time. And they're gelling at the right time. They played the Cardinals at home. I mean, they played Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray and without his number one receiver, with his running backs banged up. That game they played well. And they also got out to a lead. So, like, there was no pressure on Stafford whatsoever. So what do we know about Stafford and pressure? I mean, we didn't see any – that Monday didn't teach me anything. All I remember is watching him throw a pick six against Baltimore when I laid 3 against them, and their secondary was completely beaten up. And you had a Ravens team that was beaten up, was left for dead, and they escaped. Okay. They escaped 20-19.
But they didn't cover.
They didn't cover, exactly. And I know that – they played hard against San Francisco the last week of the season. They got off to a 17-0 lead.
Yeah.
And then they just whatever, they crapped the bed. I mean, they were not
I thought they were very poor. I mean, the McVay run to make them burn the timeouts, and then Jimmy G just goes down the field. But let me ask you, okay, so
I do agree on that. But let me ask you, before you ask me, what does that tell you? Does McVay fully trust Stafford to make a 3rd and 10 throw? I mean, why didn't he throw it on that last drive and just take the ball out of his hands?
Great question. Bad San Fran secondary. Cooper Kupp gets open all the time. I mean, that was a stunning concession, and then they lose it in overtime. I do think Shanahan is in McVay's head a little bit. It's weird in the NFC West. Shanahan owns McVay. McVay owns Arizona. And I think McVay has had his way with Seattle, I believe, in like the last 5. He's won 4 or 5 of 6, It's weird, the NFC. But I want to ask specifically about Tampa, because I get the love for Brady and Stafford a big spot. In the first meeting, when Tampa lost to the Rams, and again, Rams were coming off No, that was actually what, like week 3, I think?
It was week 3, yes.
Week 3, okay. So the Rams pressured Brady on 26% of his dropbacks, the highest rate he's faced all season, and he didn't have a good game. Now they can pressure him. They've added Von Miller to their pass rush. And, oh, by the way, you take out Chris Godwin and Antonio Brown, and you replace him with, I don't know, Breshad Perriman, John Brown maybe coming up off the practice squad. And we don't know about Fournette. So I think some things have changed about this Rams team. I'm not doing it as much off the Monday night, just as more as like the Rams are kind of ascending with Von Miller in their pass rush. And I think it's a good matchup for Brady in this offense that I don't think is particularly great, even though they look good against the Eagles.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm just going to throw out week 3. I mean, that was really early in the season. We also had, you know, Gronk got injured very early in that game, I believe. We know that Gronk is Brady's security blanket. This Rams pass D is supposed to be better. It ranks near the bottom of the league in every metric possible. So they have names, but they don't perform. And I don't know. I just trust Brady to make good decisions. I think Fournette will be back. I think he's going to play. I think he practiced in full today. Gio and Vaughn, I think they have enough in the running back position. You've still got Gronk, Evans. I mean, let's be honest. Brady has never had the elite weapons in his career, other than Moss.
Well, last year
he did, yeah. But he makes weapons good. I mean, I'm just going to trust that Brady's going to do it. Obviously, if Wirfs is out, that's a big concern.
Huge. Yeah.
But this Bucks offensive line is graded as the best offensive line left in the playoffs, you know, when healthy. Obviously, we need to see if this offensive line is going to be fully intact this week. My gut tells me it is. I mean, I don't know. It's these guys have ways of coming back. It's an ankle. It's not like he blew a knee or anything like that. I mean, I think they taped that up and he'll
I would agree. The offensive line's
good.
I want to ask you that the defensive line has not played great this year. They've looked old. And as a result, Bowles, who loves to blitz, is blitzing like 40% of the time. That's his all he does is blitz. And if you look at Stafford, one of the best in the league against the blitz this year, 14 touchdowns, one pick. He's been pretty lights out. I think he grades out as the third best quarterback against the blitz per Football Focus. And again, if he's able to not screw up, you know, the bright lights of a game against Tom Brady, and I think a slight edge to the defense, especially if Wirfs doesn't play, why can't the Rams win this game?
I mean, they definitely can win the game. I mean, every game this week is not going to be shocking no matter what team wins.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
You won't be shocked if the Bengals win?
No. I mean, the Bengals look great. I mean, I'm front and center on the Titans bandwagon. I drove it from the preseason all the
yes,
way through.
You did.
So I'm expecting the Titans to win, but I really think right now we have eight of the eight, maybe the eight best teams left. I mean, I think the Cowboys were there, but maybe they're not now. Maybe they weren't. So I think we have at least eight of the top nine football teams left. So it's not going to really shock me no matter what. But I do really think that – so what the Bucs do with that D-line is – they are about creating pressure, but I think they do create it a lot just with the front four and Vitavea, you know, really they're able to really contain the run with just the front four. They don't have to really give much help. So that allows Carlton Davis and Wingfield and Murphy Bunting and all those guys in the secondary to play this team pretty straight up. I don't know. I mean, obviously, it's very scary. There's a lot of weapons on the Rams team. So I'm not going to be absolutely floored if the Rams pull this one out. But I really think this is a good spot. I think we got the better team. We got the better quarterback. We have the more seasoned playoff team at home. I just trust the Bucs more. So I'm just going to go with the team that I trust more. And I just do not trust this Rams team one bit. And I think they're the team that just, they just look good. And every time you think that they're ready to turn that corner, they just do something. And I'm just expecting it again. Now they might prove me wrong. They have all the names, all the talent in the world. McVay, I think, is a great coach, but you know, let's not forget that Tom Brady did beat McVay in a Super Bowl recently. And, you know, I'm pretty sure he spent a lot of time studying McVay philosophies and trends and things like that. So
I'll close with this one, Dave. If I am McVay and the Rams front office, am I not spending like over last weekend after you get the win? Am I not calling the Saints and saying, yo, Dennis Allen, what the heck did you do against Tom Brady? Because he can't get through the Saints. He cannot. Tom Brady, for whatever reason, gets crushed by the Saints. I know he won the playoff game last year. That was more about the Saints turning it over. But that defense basically owns Tom Brady. Is there anything that you've seen that the Saints have done that the Rams can employ? I know Lattimore's good against Evans. Maybe Ramsey can do the same. But for whatever reason, they rattled the heck out of Tom Brady.
Yeah, I'm not really sure why that is. I'm not that deep into the X's and O's where I can, you know, why the Saints have owned the matchup. But I did go back and I looked at the schedule and I basically looked and I'm like, other than the Saints,
I know.
Basically the Bucs are pretty darn good this year. I mean, they weren't that good early. They lost that game versus the Rams, but and they had a slip up in there against, you know, Washington, but it's basically just the Saints. So I don't really have an answer, and I don't know, you know, that's just asking a lot to know which coaches have relationships with which other coaches to know, you know, if the Saints defensive coordinator has a relationship with McVay or you know, I don't really know that information, but.
All right. So I guess, Dave, if that's not your favorite game to fire on, you haven't bet anything yet. I kind of unloaded on the Chiefs at 2, and I'm having buyer's remorse. It's down to 1.5 some places. Listen, I get it. I know the Bills can be awesome. You talk about trust. Who you trust more, Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, or McDermott and Josh Allen?
Yeah, I mean, just on what you said, that is my favorite game, though. The Bucs will be by far my biggest wager of the weekend. Oh. So that is my favorite game. This is probably the game I like the least. I mean, it's the best from a football standpoint, but I just don't know. I've been wanting to make the Bills a thing for 3 years. I mean, I'm high on the Bills. I mean, if you listen to anything I've said or done last week, the Bills were my number one play last week. I said fire alternate line, fire the game, fire.
Did you say like minus 10 or something like that?
Yeah, I said minus 13.5. Yeah, I was like, get them. I loved the Bills last week, and I love this Bills team. And you know, I just really want to fire on the Bills. And then I think, and I'm like, this is the Chiefs, and we're laying less than a field goal. And it's very similar to this Bucks Rams game. On one side, you have a home team with a quarterback you trust that's been there before, who's won with weapons that you trust and know, with a coach that's been there before. And then on the other side, you have a quarterback that is good, but has a tendency to make big mistakes in big spots. And are they ready to seize the crown yet? I mean, it is very similar, but yeah. I think Buffalo is maybe 1 year ahead of the Rams. I mean, last year they got to this spot. And one thing last year, I really thought they could have beat the Chiefs. They got really conservative in the red zone. I think they kicked some field goals on fourth and short. I don't think they make that mistake again. I really think this is where we're going to throw everything. We're going to throw the kitchen sink at this team. Daboll and McDermott, I mean, they've been thinking about this game for a year. while the Chiefs have been sitting there thinking about the Bucks for a year. So, I mean, I don't, they destroyed them last time they played. I mean, I think this game really just comes down to, it's not so much about the Bills for me. I know what the Bills are, or at least I think I know what the Bills are. I trust the Bills. I like the Bills. I have no problem with the Bills. To me, this just comes down to, do you believe that this Chiefs team is back? Because if this Chiefs team is the team that we've watched for 3 years, then this number's too short at home versus the Bills. But are they back? I mean, take a look at their schedule, and really, what games have they shown you that they're back? I mean, they beat Pittsburgh a couple times. The second half of that Chargers game was really good, but the first half was bad. Mm-hmm. The first half of the Steelers game, they really didn't even look good for the first two thirds of the first half. So now we're looking at the fact that they beat up on the Raiders a couple times, where a team that they know. Other than that, I mean, This Chief team, like, we want them to be back because they're fun and everything, but I'm just not so sure that they're back. Like, the only times that they've really looked good to me is against these NFC West teams and against a Pittsburgh team that's just kind of trash. I mean, I think we all pretty much think that, you know, if this was the BCS and we were assigning playoff teams, that we would have all let the Chargers, Ravens, and Colts in ahead of the Steelers. So, I mean, they beat the 11th best team basically in the AFC. So,
My only counter would be, and my daughter's texting me here, obviously. My only counter would be, David, look at the Bills. Okay. So they beat Mac Jones, a rookie, twice. I know it's Belichick, but it's a rookie quarterback twice.
For sure.
They beat Zach Wilson at home. They beat Matt Ryan at home. They beat Cam Newton at home. They went to Tampa and lost. They were getting killed, came back, lost in overtime. And they got destroyed by the Colts and Carson Wentz. So, like, I don't know. The last time they faced a good quarterback was Tom Brady, and he annihilated them. I have questions about this Bills defense. Tre'Davious White, like, they haven't faced a quarterback who can take advantage of that since Brady, and Brady killed him. I mean, they were winning that game, I think, something like 27-6 or whatever it was. I think Mahomes can have a lot of success in this one, no?
Well, I mean, even without Tre'Davious White, PFF still ranks the Bills secondary number one. So, I mean, I'm not really sure. But like you say, I mean, are they ranked number one because they faced Mac Jones three times and Zach Wilson once and Matt Ryan once and, you know, the ghost of Cam Newton once? I'm really not sure. I don't know why I have an irrational love for this Bills team. I think they're fun and I like them. I thought I was going to really love the Bills, and then the line came out and I started thinking about it, and I started thinking, you know, why am I dismissing this Chiefs team under a field goal? And now the pendulum is swung back. This is a game that I truly believe they could play this game 10 times and it's going to pretty much come 5-5. So yeah. I'm not as in love with this spot from a gambling perspective. From a football fan perspective, absolutely love it. It's, yeah. I'm glad it's the last game. Like everything is an appetizer until that. And then we get the, you know, we get the main course and the dessert all in one. I mean, this is the game we all want to see. But from a gambling perspective, I really think this is just a flat out toss up game. And
maybe some
I'm really not sure where my money is going to go. If I was going to bet the Chiefs, though, in game is really nice because this Chiefs team is very sleepy early, traditionally. Yeah. So if you want to go that route, it's not typically a route I go. I'm more of a, you know, choose my weapon and go and just stick to my guns. But if you wanted to go that route, that's fine. I'm just going to really make a decision on what Chiefs team I think is going to show up. Buffalo is who they are to me. So I'm not that worried about Buffalo. It's just a matter of how much do I believe this Chiefs team is back. And I'm not sure I think they're 2020 Chiefs. Other than that second half against the Chargers and against some pretty poor teams, I've seen too many sleepy Chiefs minutes on the field, and this Bills team is relentless. I do think you're not going to get that luxury to come back versus this team. I mean, if the Bills get out 10-0 or 13-0, I mean, they might just paste you. So I'm probably going to lean Buffalo, but I'm not sure. I'm not ready to make it a commitment on this game yet. I'm ready to commit on the Bucs and also the Titans.
The one we didn't touch on is Niners Packers, which is tough given the Jimmy Garoppolo situation. The shoulder injury, the hand, he's limited in practice. He's not really throwing. He's being cagey about whether or not he's going to start. I cannot imagine them starting Trey Lance in this, but as soon as the Jimmy G stuff popped up, Dave, it was like, okay, Tampa Bay's favored by 6, and it's 6 everywhere. Is this a market you want to bet into, or you find sidestepping this one?
I'm just going to wait on this one. I need to see what happens. I don't trust Trey Lance at all. Yeah. I mean, I'm not even sure I trust Jimmy G. I'll take my victory laps when I'm right, and I'll take the L when I'm wrong. And I've been wrong on almost every Niners game. I cannot predict this team. As soon as I think they're back and I bet them, they lose. And when I bet against them, they're the Niners team that
Cowboys?
We think they are. I had the Cowboys.
Yeah,
it was my only loss of wild card week. I went 5-1, but I did have the Cowboys. I'm not really sure. Honestly, what the one thing that I do like about the Niners in this spot is that they have been really good versus the Packers the last few years.
Yes.
I think they lost this year, but it was by a down to the wire game. And I think that was a toss up game, could have gone either way. But I think they pretty much just dominated this Packer team for the last couple of years. I know when they went to the Super Bowl 2 years ago, they dismantled them in the NFC Championship game. So I do like Shanahan does seem to respond well in certain spots, as we saw with McVay. And, you know, maybe he's just knows how to play this Green Bay team. I mean, this Green Bay team is what they have been for the last several years. I mean, they've been in the NFC Championship game the last 2 years. I don't think there's a ton of turnover on this team. So this might just be that Shanahan knows his opponent. So I'm probably going to lean towards the Niners, but I'm not going to do anything until I find out if Trey Lance plays or not. I don't trust Trey Lance at all. So I'll probably be out if Lance plays. Yeah, but Shanahan, I'm not really sure.
Shanahan basically was like a big brother to LaFleur. Like, no, they know each other well, and it's almost like he taught him everything.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I just want to wrap up with this. Where are you on LaFleur as a coach? Because I had somebody say to me, Jay, if you go and put LaFleur on Jacksonville this past year, how many games does he win? If you go put LaFleur on the Miami Dolphins, how many games does he win? And you start thinking about it, and you're like, is it okay to say, I don't know if he's a good coach? Everybody wants to ball wash this guy. Oh, gosh, 13-3 every year with Aaron Rodgers. What do you think?
I mean, I think it's unfair at this point to you know, besmirch him, his name. I mean, he wasn't given those opportunities. He was given this one, and he's done a good job. He's done a good job with it. I don't know how it would be with Jacksonville. I mean, some guys are good at rebuilding, and some guys are good at, you know, taking what's there and making it better. I mean, this is a better version of Green Bay than we've seen for the last several years. So he's done a fine job there. Sure. I'm not a fan. I'm not a hater. He's just kind of a guy for me. If I had an organization like the Giants or the Jacksonville and he was available, I'd give him a shot.
I mean,
but it's not really fair to say that, you know, well, he's 13-3 and this guy went, you know, and Flores went, you know, 7-9. And so that makes him a better coach. It's, you know, we're not playing with equal pieces.
Right.
I mean,
okay, how about this?
I think if you put Flores on the Packers, that they would probably be pretty close to where they are right now. Yeah. So
exactly. Yeah. I mean, I didn't want to come off like I don't like LaFleur. I feel like he's getting artificially pumped up a bit. Like, honestly, I was out on Zach Taylor. I think we crushed Zach Taylor, right? When we talked maybe last year, like, I mean, come on, the guy's a bum. And now is Zach Taylor good now? Because Joe Burrow is throwing it all over the field and Jamar Chase is awesome.
Yeah. I mean, that probably wasn't with me. I've always thought Zach Taylor was a little better than people did. Oh. I liked a lot of what he did. I could see the makings of what this Bengals team was before. I didn't like there are some play calls that he's made, some decisions that he's gone for it from, you know, like inside his own 25 early in the game and spots where I thought were pretty bad, but you could kind of see what he was. But he basically comes from the McVay tree, and this McVay tree, which is Zach Taylor and McVay and Brandon Staley, and like, they're arrogant, they're young, they're going to do it their way, and they don't care. Mm-hmm. But I feel like he's, like, Zach Taylor's done a really good job. I mean, I'm fine with the progress that he's made, and I mean, who doesn't love, you know, Joey Burrow? And I like this Cincinnati team. I mean, I think it's unfortunate for me that they're playing the Titans, because they might be a sexy underdog pick for me versus other teams, but I've ridden the Tennessee bandwagon from preseason through the season when, you know, you and every other podcast I've been on hates the Titans. I've basically held the Titans flag for the entire year. And so it would be a weird spot for me to jump off now when they're getting healthy. So are you on the Titans this week?
Well, that's the problem. Once I saw it was at 3, I said, oh my gosh, I got to take a bite of this. And now it's 3.5. And I mean, I'm pot committed to Tennessee here, and you know what's going to happen. The 1 week I get on these guys, they're going to lose, and the Bengals are going to win. So I hope I didn't jinx your team. And I have not liked them. It's tough for me to even talk about this game, Dave, because the team they're going to put out there with Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown and Julio hasn't played together since, I think October. So I don't know what they're going to be. Are they going to be – is it going to be clunky, a start for them? I mean, off the bye? I like watching the Bengals. I don't know if the defense can hold up. I don't trust Zach Taylor. Vrabel's a great coach. So it is a tough one. I don't know.
Yeah, this is the Titans team that I touted all year. And every time that the Titans looked bad, you know, they lose to the Jets, they lost to the Texans, you know, my mentions would just blow up, you know, this is the Titans team. And it's like, well, that wasn't the Titans team that I hyped all year. This is the Titans team I've hyped all year. So, there's a lot of rust potential. I think the range of outcomes here is pretty wide. But I mean, if Henry is in good shape, you know, they do have Foreman to take, you know, to basically beat down on the defensive line. If Henry needs a blow, this Foreman is kind of like a poor man's Henry.
Yeah.
So I think they can just pound it. And I love the play action. You know, maybe Julio may be able to get through 60 minutes of football without, you know, pulling a toenail. I don't know. I mean, I think we all love AJ. Mm-hmm. I trust Tannehill enough. I love what Cincinnati's building there though. So it's a tough pick, but I really think this Titans team at home, this is hard nose. This is playoff football. And I actually have a little Titans to win the AFC at 3-1. So that I just got. So I'm hoping that the Chiefs Bills kind of beat each other up and the Titans can get out relatively unscathed. And the Titans have beaten both of those other teams this year already. So there won't be a lack of confidence on the Titans squad. So I know that the public wants to see either Chiefs or Bills versus Rodgers, and they're going to be very disappointed if it's Tom Brady versus Ryan Tannehill. But that's kind of what I'm predicting. So,
all right. So what do you think the price is if the Titans advance to face the Chiefs? They will be hosting either Chiefs or Bills. Because I would assume KC or Buffalo will both be favored on the road, right?
Yeah, they'll both be favored for sure. I think it does come down to a little bit about how the teams look. I mean, just like the Rams, I mean, that was a point and a half off of where I thought it was going to open. But I think earlier in the year when the Bills played the Titans, if I remember correctly, it was a Monday night game.
Oh, yeah.
And it was in Tennessee, and the Bills were laying 5.5, I think. I'm not 100%, but I remember I was at the World Series of Poker. Everybody had bets on that game. I had the Titans, and I'm pretty sure that was the number.
Yep.
So if they were 5.5 back then, I'm going to say that it's probably going to be 5.5 or 6 now.
Oh, no, I don't. Come on. You really?
I mean,
I remember that game. Josh Allen slipped on like the 3-yard line going into the game touchdown. But so, Tennessee also came back in. If memory serves, Buffalo, let's see, I think Buffalo led. Yeah, they led 31-24 starting the fourth quarter.
Well, let me ask you this. Are you playing the Titans if it's 4 versus either of those teams?
If it's the Chiefs, I'm taking the Chiefs at the points. I know they killed them.
Yeah, you are. And what do you think the public's going to do?
If Tennessee's fully healthy with Henry and AJ Brown, I think they'll probably beat Buffalo.
Maybe 5.5 is too much. Maybe 4.5. I don't think it gets under 4.
You're taking Tennessee either way.
No, I'm. Look, I don't want to commit. I'm not going to commit at this point. But I do. I'm highly. It's highly probable that I'll be on Tennessee, but I want to see how this team looks. I'm not totally committed to the Titans. I was committed for them during the season. I just recently made the AFC bet only because I thought it was a pretty good price. I bet it before wild card week. And actually you can probably get a little bit more now. I think that was under the assumption that maybe you might've lost the Chiefs or the Bills in an upset. And so maybe the Titans path was a little easier or something like that. But, you know, at home, I want to see what this team looks like. I want to see what this full unit looks like. I mean, if the Bengals just give them the game and they don't really look that good, I mean, it's really tough to bet against the Chiefs and the Bills. So I'm not committing there. I know I'm going to play the Titans this week. I know I'm going to play the Bucs this week. And We'll see. So, I mean, my Super Bowl pick right now is Titans Bucks, but only because I feel more confident about them having the being in the next round than I do any of the other teams. So, you know,
I guess I could close with this, Dave. I don't know if you ever do that thing where you just, you know, if you're kind of undecided, you're like, what do I, you just ask some friends who are just casual fans. They just are football fans. They're not big gamblers. Who do you like? And then you say the spread and then their answer is kind of telling. And Dave, I swear, if I've asked 8 or 9, I think 7 of them, 7 of these guys are on the Bucks. I don't know anyone taking the Rams here. Now, again, that doesn't, I'm not saying that that means anything, but do you ever do that where you ask people like, hey, who are you on? Your friends who may not be heavy gamblers, who are just sports fans.
Well, most of my friends are sports fans and knowledgeable sports fans and gamblers as well. But, you know, I use the great Twitterverse as my spot to kind of gauge the pulse. And, you know, sometimes I send out tweets that are just more for effect and engagement more than, you know, anything. You know, like I sent out a tweet about, you know, pumping up the Titans. And I said before this game, you know, during the Rams game, you know, can't wait to see what they hang on this. I love the Bucks. Because I just want to see what people, how people respond. And I want to, and it gives me a good indication of, you know, when I get all the mentions of, you know, no way the Rams are going to win this game outright. And really, that you think the Bucks are favored in this game? You know, how are they favored? You know, things like that. It just, it gives me, and it gives me a sense of where, so I do it in a different context than you do it as though. So. But yes, obviously we want to, we all get in our own echo chambers though. So, you know, be careful about, you know, your 6 or 7 friends are not there. It's still an echo chamber that probably listens to the same things that you listen to. They read the same things you read. They talk to similar people that you do. They follow the same people on Twitter that you do. They watch the same, you know, Fox Sports shows that you do.
It's weird though. Let me quickly jump in. I would say like four of the guys that I text with about games are not on Twitter at all. I know that sounds crazy. Yeah. These are sports fans, but they have like jobs, like office jobs, and they're not sitting on Twitter. I don't even know if they have Twitter accounts. Maybe they set one up, but they're not on there. I don't know.
People have office jobs.
Yeah. All right. David Baker, poker star, gambler supreme. We're going head to head on Bucks Rams. I don't feel great since I've got the inferior quarterback, but enjoy the rest of your stay in Cabo and good luck on gambling this weekend.
Thanks. Good luck to you on all except the Rams. And I've enjoyed watching you on the Fox shows and things. You're doing some great work. And, you know, anytime you text and want to chat with me about NFL football, I'm always down. I like listening to your podcast and I love your views and your style and everything. So thanks for having me on.
Extra nice today.
Yeah.
All right.
So thanks for having me on and we'll talk soon.